A brand new Village Vice on the way today. Yeah, it's Friday, so we're fancy. We're fancy on a Friday. That's right. Village Vice.
Yes.
If you don't call this show Village Vice from now on with all your friends who are fancy, there's no justice. He's Zach
Black. Pinky out.
Yes. Pinky up. Pinky up. Village Vice. Hey, we got another basketball game tomorrow. Great response from the spring football discussion on yesterday's show, by the way, in the comments. So go check that out if you missed it. But I'm a little fired up about something. It's been sort of bubbling up quietly for the last few weeks. But now that Janai's healthy again, Zach,
yeah,
we got to talk about something.
I don't even know why I'm here today. Just go ahead. Just go scorched earth.
You're here to put up the graphics on the screen.
Tell me when to put the graphic up.
And to give me your thoughts. But I posted on X during the game Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Name another elite player that gets fewer free throw attempts or that gets a more unfair whistle. Another way to say it might be, name another elite college basketball player that gets as little respect as Janai Broome. There's not one. Okay? It's one thing to say that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not just bringing words to the table today, Zach Blackerby. I got numbers. I got stats to back it up.
All right.
Do you ever watch certain teams and you go, man, that guy gets every whistle?
Yes.
And then somebody else might say to you, well, yeah, he's one of the elite players in the game. He's going to get that whistle.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady gets the flag, doesn't he?
Tom Brady doesn't play anymore.
Right. Patrick Mahomes now gets the flag, doesn't he?
For sure.
Michael Jordan, when he played, he got the whistle.
Okay.
Kobe got the whistle.
Sure.
Cooper Flagg gets the whistle.
Oh.
You know who doesn't get the whistle?
Janai Broome.
At an alarming rate, Janai Broome does not get the whistle. I got some.
But you're just an Auburn homer.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Right.
You don't know. You're just jealous because Cooper Flagg's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to win National Player of the Year because it's political and he plays at Duke and it's the brand. You're distracted by the brand, Brad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm biased, right? Because I'm just in it all the time. I watch every rep Janai takes. So here's what I did. I took Janai's free throw attempts, and I took his number of two-point field goals attempted.
Okay.
And I compared, because, you know, fouls on three-point attempts, they're kind of an outlier.
Sure.
I took every other team in the SEC's top big man.
Mm-hmm.
I took all of their free throw attempts.
Uh-huh.
I took all of their two-point field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And I compared how many free throw attempts per two-point field goal attempts they get.
Oh.
The result, yeah, all of them, all 16 teams. Throw that graphic up on the screen, if you would, please. Take a look at some of these numbers. Janai gets one free throw attempt for every 2 2/3 two-point field goal attempts. That means for every two free throws, he's got to take more than five shots.
Uh-huh.
Compare that to some other guys in the league. Compare that to Jalen Moore at Oklahoma.
Okay.
For every two free throw attempts, he's got to take three shots. That's two times down the floor that Janai is playing through contact without a foul called.
This is fascinating.
Look at some of these other numbers. Jalen Reed was injured at LSU, but before that, 1.5, two free throws for every three shots. Janai is 2 for every 5.5 shots. The only comparable players in the league to this ratio are a true freshman at Georgia, Asa Newell, who shouldn't get the whistle because he's a true freshman. He hasn't earned it yet. And Devin McLaughlin at Vanderbilt, who plays in a system where they list everybody as guards. So when you see the coaches complaining And you hear coaches talking about, man, it's tough to get a fair whistle on the road. And sometimes it's, you know, teams get a fairer whistle at Neville Arena than the home team. There's stats to back this up. Look at how many two-point field goal attempts Jani has. More than any other big man in the league. And he's played two fewer games. And yet the ratio is what it is. Now, he's getting more free throw attempts every game than Henry Coleman is, or Arthur Kaluma, or Cam Matthews at Mississippi State.
Yep.
But their touches are far fewer. The ratio is still far better for those other players. Make that make sense. Now, that's the SEC. Step away from the SEC. What about other National Player of the Year candidates outside the SEC? Cooper Flagg has 11 fewer two-point attempts and almost twice as many free throw attempts. Eric Dixon at Villanova. Really, it's Jani and Cooper. Those are the guys in the Player of the Year discussion. But, you know, the next best big man might be Eric Dixon at Villanova. 30 more free throw attempts, 9 fewer shots. Make it make sense, Zach.
Jani's not getting the calls.
He doesn't
Simple
get
as that.
He does not get the respect that he has earned. This is not his first year in the league.
No.
This is not his second year in the league. He is a preseason Player of the Year candidate, and he's not getting the respect. Why is that? I don't know. I mean, that's rhetorical. I don't know why.
I don't either.
But it's not like he avoids contact.
No.
He's averaging a double-double. He's physical. He's getting rebounds. You're going to tell me in that first possession the other night where he got 5 offensive rebounds, 5 putback try, he didn't get fouled once? It's one thing if you're a guard. Like, we used to watch Jared Harper and go, why does he never get the call? And you go, well, he's so much smaller, and sometimes he avoids contact. He's contorting his body. And Jani doesn't do that.
No. No, he'll get the ball, you know, 4 feet from the basket on a normal possession.
Yeah. I would love to see these stats make their way to, I don't know. Look, and this is not me criticizing SEC officiating. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying that, but
some, I'll say it's bad.
Okay.
I have no problem saying SEC officiating, but we want to hit SEC officiating. I mean, collegiate basketball officiating is awful this year.
But that's a, like, I'd love these stats to get somewhere and for somebody to go, you know what? We didn't realize that was happening. Well, we don't want to send him to the line 10 times a game. Why not? If he's earning it.
Yeah. If he's getting fouled on, you know, 5, 6, 7 shot attempts a night, he should. That's literally the rule.
He's top 5 in scoring and leading the league in rebounding. And yet among the top 10 scorers in the league, he has the second fewest points from free throws. He should be getting to the line, not a little more, a lot more.
And once again, it's not like he's shooting threes. If this is Jared Harper, or Bryce Brown, or, you know, even Denver Jones, it's like, okay, all right. But yeah, this is a guy who lives around the basket.
Yeah. A lot of offensive rebounds, second chance putbacks, a lot of bodies around him when he's going up. His technique is excellent. His body control is elite among college players. Mm-hmm. But he's not getting fouled. There's cleaner defense played against Jani than against any other player in this league. That's not reasonable.
If you could put all of it into a microcosm, it's the possession where Auburn got like 6 offensive rebounds against LSU. And it's like, they never fouled us on any of those?
You're telling me
they never fouled us on any of those? Like, right. Come on.
So you're going to tell me Jani, who shoots 50% almost from the field on 5 tries, is 0-for-5 and they're all clean?
Didn't get fouled at all. Come on.
It's just not be reasonable.
Yeah. Let's have some common sense here.
If Jani went to the line instead of every 2.67 shot attempts, if it was just the average among the league at 1.8, okay, let's be conservative and say 1.8.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's 2 free throws every 3 to 4 trips down the floor instead of 5-6. What a difference.
And there's been a lot of talk about these close games that Auburn's had, you know, against these teams that we thought were good in SEC play, and then they've like lost more than we thought since Auburn beat them.
Yeah.
And if Auburn got the fair, like the free throw attempts that hit the ratio of the average, I mean, 3 point, even if you only make three of those over the span of like, you know, the second half, it's like, well, yeah, that makes the last 2 minutes of the game look very different.
Sure. I mean, if he's getting 15 shots a game and you give him four more trips to the free throw line, that matters. That's also four more fouls against the other team. That might impact the rotation. It might impact the way teams are defending Janai. You're not trying to level the competition by not calling foul. Call the foul if it's a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just simply, biased or not, I don't buy that teams are defending Janai in a cleaner fashion than they're defending Cooper Flagg or Eric Dixon or other big men in the SEC. I don't buy it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean, Colin Murray-Boyles is the closest guy to the number of shots that Janai is getting. And he's been to the line 31 more times. 31.
South Carolina. They've won one conference game?
No. They've won zero conference
games. They haven't won one?
No.
I thought they won one for some reason.
And their big man is getting to the line more frequently than Janai.
It's crazy.
You got to respect Janai Broome. Janai Broome is not getting the respect from the... Now, look.
I wish you incorporated minutes in this, too, because I'm sure he's played more minutes than almost all of these guys, too.
He's getting respect from media. He's got the respect from other coaches and other players. He's not getting it from the stripes. And again, this is not a Homer argument. Those are the stats. Those are the numbers.
Yeah, and it'd be different if it was like close. It's just not close. Good work on this, man. Yeah. Good work on this.
It was a lot of fun to do because like with every player that I would input into the spreadsheet, I go, that's crazy. He's nowhere close.
Yeah.
Auburn's 14th as a team in free throw attempts per game. The only two that shoot fewer are Arkansas and Tennessee. And Tennessee slows it down, and they have a lot of guards who take their shots.
Yeah, right.
So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. Maybe you do, too. Let us know what you think.
Let us know your thoughts down below. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, head over to roback.com right now, R-H-O-B-A-C-K, roback.com. Use promo code Vice20 to get 20% off your order. They've got performance hoodies. They've got the quarter zips. They've got the polos, and they've got a million. I don't know if it's literally a million, but it's probably close. Very expansive catalog. Be sure to check it out. Roback.com. Use promo code Vice20 for 20% off your order.
And listen, if you read our comments, most shows, who's going to buy a Roback shirt for Eric? Give him an experience and let him know what it's like. All right, just give Eric a shot, and then he'll be convinced at that point. All right,
what's Eric's concern?
Oh, Eric doesn't like that Roback costs more than like a shirt from a big box store.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's better quality.
What kind of car do you think Eric drives?
I don't know. I don't want to.
Okay. Okay.
What do you think? What do you think he drives?
I don't know. I haven't read the comments. I'm just asking you.
Eric's just not happy with our Roback sales. I don't know why. It's a little bit of a strange hill to die on, but you know, everybody got their own choices.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Quality is worth it. You'll never need to buy another version of that type. You never need to buy another quarter zip. You never need to buy another hoodie of that color. Like
I haven't thought of buying more hoodies since I got my Roback gear.
No, you're good. You're done. Like the only reason I bought another one is because I needed a different color.
Correct. Like, I know.
That's it. And I had another hoodie that color that was getting worn out. And I'm like, let me change this out. So I'll never have to buy this color hoodie again.
Right. It's like going from old light bulbs to LED bulbs. You're like, I don't know why we ever went different.
It's like, I could pay $20 more and never need this again.
Right.
Or buy it again in 6 months.
Correct. Yeah. It's exactly. More on basketball now. We're 20 games in, and if everything goes the way we want it to go,
Yeah.
You got 20 games left.
Right. Halfway through.
11 in the regular season, 3 in the SEC tournament, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then to be in the national championship game, that's 6 more. So 11, 3, 6, 20 more games. So 20 down, 20 to go. 20-20 vision on this basketball team. Zach, have we seen their – what's the best game they've played so far? Because that's different than their best win.
Mississippi State without Janai.
Okay.
Houston was pretty great.
Yeah.
Iowa State's second half was incredible.
I think that's their best win because of how they did it and the team that they beat.
I mean, it's either that or Houston at this point, right? Or Tennessee.
Memphis and North Carolina were the way they played in those games. They just came out and, you know, chewed bubblegum and kicked, you know.
Memphis especially. But, yeah. I mean, as far as like in conference play, I would say Mississippi State. Yeah. Missouri was a good game, too. I mean, we whooped Missouri as well. So
that's true.
Yeah, one of those.
All right. The 5 road games they have left. Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Kentucky, Texas A&M.
Brutal.
Rank those from most, from least difficult to most difficult. And they're all difficult road games. They're all difficult.
But yeah, Auburn could lose any one of these 5 games for sure. And if I had to guess, I think they'll lose at least 2 of them. Okay. If I had to guess. I think Vandy's the easiest. Still not easy. I mean, we've seen them beat some really highly ranked teams the last week or two.
Two top tens, yeah.
A&M. No, I'll go Vandy from easiest to toughest. I'll go Vandy, Ole Miss, A&M, Kentucky, Bama.
Okay. Yeah, I probably go with that too.
I think you can move those bottom 3 around, but I have a hard time like seeing anybody disagree with the first 2, the toughest 2.
I saw the new updated ranking system that they're using, that the committee is using, and they have like Auburn and Alabama as the numbers 1 and 2 resumes in the country. Those 2 games are, my gosh, I mean, relative to basketball, those are Armageddon type games.
Yeah, for sure.
I would probably agree. This Ole Miss game is, I mean, that's a top-tier game Saturday. Have you looked at the Saturday schedule?
No, is it loaded?
It's loaded from start to finish tomorrow. We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah, solid six-pack. You'll probably pick some Mountain West game that we got to pick. But
no, I'll stay away from them.
Appreciate that.
The Boise's and UNLV's played, I think, last night, so I think we're good there.
Yeah, I'm not as sold on Ole Miss as other folks. I think Auburn wins tomorrow. But there's a lot of folks that know a lot about basketball saying like, hey, this might be the first one that they drop. And it could be. I don't feel like this is it. I don't feel like this is the one, but could be wrong. Yeah. Also, like you pointed this out to me when conference play started. I mean, Auburn's got several stretches where they play multiple road games in a row. Mm-hmm. They're coming off of a road game in Baton Rouge. Back-to-back road games in this conference. Yeah. It's tough. It's very brutal. So how do they respond to that?
And Ole Miss is getting back-to-back home games, which is good for them. And their win over Texas, like while everybody else was watching Alabama, Mississippi State Wednesday night, those of you watching Ole Miss, Texas got a whale of a game. That was a phenomenal game. Texas had won 3 of 4 coming in. Ole Miss had lost 3 in a row since they beat Alabama.
Yeah.
I'd rather be playing them after a 3-game losing streak than when they kind of got their winning mojo back.
Okay. Sure. You know? Yeah, I got you.
Anyway, that's a big game. Of the home games left, rank those from most winnable to least. I think absolutely they're all winnable at home. But you got Oklahoma, Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama.
The easiest is Oklahoma. We play Georgia at home.
Play Georgia at home. Play Arkansas at home.
So probably Oklahoma, Georgia, Arkansas.
Okay.
Who are the other ones?
Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama.
Ole Miss, Florida, Bama.
Yeah, I think so too. I think those bottom 3, I might put Arkansas before Oklahoma. I might put Arkansas as the most.
I think Arkansas is more talented. Like if it just ever like comes together and pops, like it'd be concerning.
Sure.
That's my, and like Cal teams in the past. I mean, obviously, he's off to a way worse start than he ever had at Kentucky, but
yeah,
they did typically peak later in the season. Is there anything to that this year? This year seems like an outlier for Cal, or like an exception to the rule. So I don't know if that even should apply, but that's my thought process.
How do you feel about Rick Pitino coming out and asking Kentucky fans not to boo Cal when they go there, when Arkansas plays at Kentucky tomorrow?
It's weak. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard that at all. That's weak.
Recorded a 90-second video message to Kentucky fans saying, you know, you ought to give him a standing ovation. Don't boo him. Give him a good reception.
You could do that when he's done. He left you.
Yeah.
He left you in the middle of the night.
Whether you wanted him to or not, he still left, and he's an active coach against you.
He chose to leave you.
Yeah. Yeah. When he comes back in 10 years after he's finished coaching.
Yeah, and you have a Coach Cal night or whatever.
Sure.
You put his name in the rafters or whatever. Yeah. Celebrate him then. He's still going. He's still going. And he's trying to beat you. He's trying to come into your house and beat you. No, don't applaud him.
Yeah. Standing ovation, Coach Pitino called for.
They'll stand. That's for sure. They'll be standing. No question about it.
This is a good thing. It's not tomato night at Rupp Arena, right? Everybody gets a tomato when you walk in the door.
Yeah, Brad, it's a good thing it's not tomato night.
Because they throw them at him.
Sure. It's a good thing it's not tomato night, for sure.
Okay. Go to thebarnauburn.com and sign up. You're going to get $25 off your annual subscription when you do that right now. It is the hottest message board community out there. We've got news. We got nuggets. We got notes. We got everything.
It's a good thing it's not tomato night.
We just don't have tomatoes. You want to get into the six-pack here?
Sure. Yeah.
Village Vice six-pack. Florida, Tennessee in Knoxville. Tennessee has lost two straight. They go under 500 in the league if they lose this game.
I think it happens. I think Florida wins.
Whew. Okay. I can't see Tennessee losing three times in a row.
They can't score.
I know.
And Florida can.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like the matchup for Tennessee.
But, you know, Auburn can score, and Tennessee dictated the tempo of that game.
Great counterpoint. Great counterpoint for sure. I don't think you can bank on, you know, teams that score really well shooting, what, 13% from three? Yeah. Like, that's just not going to happen consistently.
That's true. No, you're right. And Kentucky did hit 12 threes against Tennessee Tuesday. So...
okay, there you go.
If they can do it, sure. All right. I'm going to go Tennessee, though, just because it's not the most logical. I think I like your logic better.
You have the line on this? You have the line on this?
No, I do not.
Sorry I asked. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. At least it's not tomato night in Knoxville.
You know what? Older people who are closer to my age than your age will understand that a lot.
Oh, I get it. I just thought it was weird. That's all. Right. That's all.
All right, how about Missouri at Mississippi State? Number 20, Mizzou. Number 14, Mississippi State. State would drop under 500 in the league with a loss in this game.
I've been high on Mizzou
like,
since we played them. And people are like, it's not a quality one. I'm like, I think it is. I think they're good. I think they're good. So just to kind of stay on that hill, I'll stay with Mizzou.
I can definitely see it. They get to the foul line a lot. In fact, Mark Mitchell at Mizzou gets to the foul line every 1.16 two-point field goal attempts. He's been to the line.
That's a lot.
120. Yeah. That's for a lot. For every two-point shot he takes, he doesn't get a foul called. He does get a foul call. I mean, that's...
it's a lot.
It's a lot. So he gets six free throw attempts per game. They do have a road win at Florida. I'm going to take the home team again here. I don't think State loses.
Where are you with State? Do you think Mississippi State, like, I know what the metrics and all that say, but they just...
they're inconsistent. They're inconsistent on both ends. It's not like they're always good on defense and sometimes good on offense or vice versa.
I think they're a little overrated. Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're bad. When we talk about Mississippi State, we talk about like this really good basketball team. I'm like, I don't know if they're really good. You know,
their non-conference didn't challenge them a whole lot. It is more, they're getting a lot more consistent tests now. So
yeah, right.
But I'm gonna pick them to win.
Okay.
So I'll pick them to win this game.
Sure.
Just because they're the home team. Let's move outside the SEC and go. No, let's stay in the SEC. Texas A&M is at South Carolina. South Carolina keeps losing, but they're at home. They're not going to go 0-4 in the league.
The tomato night in Columbia?
No.
Okay.
A&M big? You going A&M big?
I think A&M wins. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going big, but I do think because South Carolina's kept it close in a lot of their losses.
Most of the, yeah, over half of their losses, they've had the lead or, you know, it's been a 1 or 2 possession game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I could pick South Carolina until they win, you know? So, yeah, I'll go A&M. What about you?
That's fair. Yeah, I'll probably take A&M as well. I was going to pick North Carolina Duke, but I don't think it's close, Zach. Now, there have been
– for the sake of the exercise, I'll take Duke.
There have been other games. Coach K's last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium should have been a blowout.
Incredible.
And North Carolina went in and won. There have been other years where Duke was a prohibitive favorite at home, and Carolina went in and won.
I don't think we talk about that, like – ceremony right after that game as much as we should, like as a population, as a country, because that was insane and awkward, and I just can't imagine, like, if you're a UNC fan, like, I would bring that up every chance you get. It's like, whose idea was it to do that right after the game? Like, what a bad decision.
Don't you know losing that game was never even a consideration? Like, they never thought they would lose that game. They didn't give it a passing thought.
Yeah.
All right. Texas Tech at Houston, it shouldn't be a good game. How about Kansas at Baylor? Kansas lost 3 games in conference.
Yeah.
Baylor, you giving this any – I mean, are you paying attention to this game at all Saturday?
Yeah, I'll pay attention to it, but –
it's right after our game.
I'll pick I'm picking Kansas, but sure, that's an interesting one for sure. Yep.
Yeah. I'll take Baylor. Give me the home team. I'm big on the home teams, apparently, in this
that's all right.
Today.
Hey, at least it's not tomato night there.
Auburn at Ole Miss. Give me your final prediction on this game. I'm going to throw a tomato at you. If I could throw a tomato through the screen
right at me.
I would launch it at you right now.
Right at me. Yeah. I think Auburn wins handily here. I think they win by 11.
Okay. I like it. Last time I predicted easy Auburn win on the road.
It was that Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia game? Yeah. Yeah, we were off on that one for sure.
So, I don't know. Ole Miss's turnover margin is so big. You got to take care of the ball. I think Auburn wins the game, but this is another one of these. I mean, your fingernails are chewed down to the quick. Just.
Yeah, I'll say 77-66, Auburn.
77. Okay. All right. I'm going to go in the 70s somewhere, like a 73-70 or 75-73, just somewhere in the low 70s.
Yeah, sounds stressful.
Safe route. Yeah, very, very stressful. Can I mention the Barn Baseball Show before we wrap up?
Yeah, it's already up. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. Y'all nailed it.
If you haven't watched it yet, Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera, and then I'm just there. Like, I'm just there to watch those two guys be great. We're going to be talking Auburn baseball throughout the season, and we launched our first show. If you haven't watched it yet, it is available now. Click and watch kind of a season preview edition as we launch the Barn Baseball Show. Very excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted a show specific for Auburn baseball because the fan base is there, the community is there, the interest is there, and even folks who don't necessarily maybe have time to watch, you know, 3 games every weekend, they will still want to know what happened. And so we're like, we gotta figure out a way to launch this thing. And exceeded expectation. I mean, it's great. It's
we didn't just go. What I love is we didn't just go get a former player, like just some guy.
One of the best hitters in Auburn history.
Right. Yeah. Sonny DeShera is on the show with us. So
yeah, a guy who knows what it's like to win. Yeah. A guy who knows what it's like to set records and just to go yard.
And knows the current staff, knows the current players. He's in it. Yeah. And we've got some cool stuff coming up with some of the current players as well in the very near future.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's super, super cool. So just subscribe to this channel. You'll see the content or go to the channel's homepage and we'll make a Barn Baseball Show playlist where you can see all of that stuff too. So, Yeah, I watched like the first 10 minutes or so because I was like posting it or whatever. But yeah, when I go work out later, I'll definitely be having that up. No question about it.
So, flex.
Brad, I think that does it for today's show.
It does. Thanks, everybody, for watching and subscribing. We're on our way to 7,000 subscribers. We appreciate
that. No tomato night tonight, baby.
Tell you what, Zach, everybody has vices. Everyone's got vices. Some people's vices are tomatoes. I don't know. Your vices are your vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.